Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rarity is Fundamental podcast, episode 14. It's time for a little girl talk. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, internet? This is the Rarity is Fundamental podcast. It's episode 14, recorded on May 12th, 2015, brought to you by RayRay.net. My name is Ray Morali, but you guys know me as RayRay, and I am behind the very behind NBA website known as thenolookpass.com. Follow me on Twitter at thenolookpass. One issue really upsets me, and I just found out about this a bit ago, but I had no idea that it was a cool thing for guys to yell on a woman's mic. They yell, F her right in the pee. No, it does not mean fry her right in the pan. You people definitely know what it means. And I'm like, why? What do you accomplish doing that? It's supposed to be funny? It's not funny. You would definitely succeed making women uncomfortable by saying something like that. But let's face it, it's humiliating, it's degrading, and quite frankly, it sounds very threatening. Props to Shauna Hunt from City News in Canada for defending herself. When she's doing a job, she should not have to defend herself from ridiculous Neanderthals who call themselves men. Really, she's just trying to do her job, and these guys are out there trying to make her as uncomfortable as possible. You know what? Stop. Please. What's even disappointing during that whole ordeal is that the men tried to defend themselves, and they just thought it was funny. One of them even said, "My mom would think it would be funny." Really? I think mom would be extremely disappointed. Last time I checked, mom gave birth to us, nurtured us, fed us, raised us to get ready for the real world. But how would mom feel if she finds out her son is out there helping out on this frightening rape culture? How would mom feel that her son is out there scaring her fellow women? How would son feel if these things are being said to her mother? They wouldn't like that, right? So yeah, if someone does that, I feel they should either get fined or arrested for sexual harassment, because that's what it basically is. It's sexual harassment. Sure, they may not be pointing out to a specific woman, but saying things like this are putting women in danger. How can they do their job? How can they be comfortable when guys are out there basically making threatening remarks about them? The women are already having a hard time in this world, so please, my fellow guys, dudes, men, let's help our women out instead of scaring them away, okay? On the topic of women, my guest is a longtime friend of mine. Her name is Lexi Knox. She's from Nashville, Tennessee. She now works for WNSR Sports Radio in Nashville. And we're going to talk about a lot of topics, including what we just talked about right now. But we're also going to talk about NBA playoffs, boxing, and Chilean Eddie Vedder to make it a little more lighthearted. So yeah, that's what I said. Anyway, let's go to the interview. And please, let's respect Lexi. Let's respect the women out there, all right? Scratch.
On the line, an old friend of mine, but now she's big time. She's working for Nashville's WNSR Sports Radio, 560 AM, 95.9 FM, also in Kentucky, 103.9 FM, Lexi Knox.
What's up?
Yeah, how's it going? Look at you. Big time on the radio. That's pretty cool.
I don't know about big time, but, you know, these past few weeks have been really good to me. I just started working there, and they actually brought me in as sales because they didn't have another spot for me. But then I just worked my way in, you know, like I do. And I've made it worth my time, and I'm on the morning show from 9 to 11. So everyone should check it out. And, yeah, I really like it. I'm enjoying it.
I've known you for a few years now. Actually, we're both Los Angeles Laker fans. I think you're still a Laker fan, right? Okay.
Good. Of course.
Yeah, you're also a Tennessee Titans fan, and you are also a boxing enthusiast.
Yes.
Right?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Is boxing like your number one sport?
I would say it's always going to be Titans football. Because, you know, my mom and I are season ticket holders. We've been going to games. I've been going to games for almost 13 years now, but she's been going since before they even built the stadium. When they played in the Vanderbilt They played in Vanderbilt Stadium. They played in Memphis a couple of times. So my mom and dad used to go a lot, and then I started going. And so that really is what owns my heart. But I've recently started getting into boxing these past, probably, you know, past months. I've been really watching it closely, watching a lot of old fights, watching, you know, fights that happen on Saturday nights on HBO, and really getting into it. And I found something that I never thought I could love anything more than baseball or football, because those two things are like my favorite things in the world. But when I watch boxing, it's like, it's just love. I can't explain it. It's just something that's so awesome to me.
So what was it that really got you into boxing? Like, what is it? Was it a certain fight? Was it the art of the sport? Or was it just two guys just clobbering the hell out of each other?
I will say that the first fight that I ever really watched closely was Matisse Provodnikov. And I just randomly turned it on. This guy that I'm seeing is really into it. And he was watching it. And I was like, okay, I'll turn it on. I'll see what's going on. And it turned out to be the best first fight for anyone to ever watch. Provodnikov got the snot beat out of him, and he never gave up, and he kept going, and he brought it all 12 rounds. And his face was just a mess, and he's bleeding. And I was just like, wow, this is incredible. Like, where have I been all of my life? Why am I missing this? And it just kind of went from there. There was another really good fight that night that I switched to, and it was just a great first introduction for me, and I just fell in love.
I talked to Robert Littal, who runs Black Sports Online, and I asked him about the state of boxing these days, because boxing was really huge in America, 20 something years ago, with Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Sugar Ray Leonard, Larry Holmes, Muhammad Ali, obviously, those guys, right? It's really not that popular right now, but yet we got Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao selling pay-per-views by the buttloads. So, so what do you think about the state of boxing at the moment? Like, do you think it's obviously popular when it's certain boxers, but do you think it can be sustainable? It can be really good again, basically, really popular again in America?
Oh, definitely. I think there are enough established fighters and enough up-and-coming fighters that can make it exciting to the casual sports fan. I said this on the radio, actually, a couple weeks or last week after the Mayweather fight. You don't need to base your idea of boxing on that fight. Mm-hmm. A lot of people said after that boxing was dead, that they didn't, it was done. It's not. When you look at a guy like Canelo Alvarez, who fought last week, and he fought last Saturday against James Kirkland, it went basically 2.5 rounds. In 2 minutes into the third round, or about 1:30 into the third round, he knocked him. Canelo Alvarez knocked Kirkland out, and it was incredible. And that is what boxing is watching things like that happen. And 2.2 million people tuned into that. Tuned into a guy, Canelo Alvarez. He's like 24 years old. He's undefeated. He's someone that you want to watch to get excited about. Another fighter that I truly love is Bryant Jennings. He went up against Vladimir Klitschko a couple weeks ago for the heavyweight championship. It was actually the week before Mayweather and Pacquiao. And this was a guy that I talk about him all the time because I just love him. He didn't start boxing until he was like 24, 25 years old. He's only been doing it for 6 years. He's a bank security guard in Northern Philly, and yet there he was on the big stage challenging Vladimir Klitschko, who is just – I'm actually watching this fight right now as we're speaking just to have it on, and it's just – Klitschko is just this dominant bear of a man, yet Jennings took him all 12 rounds, kept him on his toes, kept him on his feet, and didn't give up. And it's so when you watch guys like this, you can't give up on the sport because there's so much greatness to watch, and it's just so exciting. And there's a fight coming up this weekend, and it's going to be broadcast in over 120 countries. It's Gennady Golovkin, and this is a guy that you definitely want to keep your eyes on. you really can't explain Gennady Golovkin. He goes by Triple G. I've been watching a lot of his old fights this week to try to prepare and really get a good feel for him. This is a guy that goes in the ring. He stalks you. He watches you. He'll let you get a few hits in, and then, boom, he'll just knock you right out. And he hits so hard. And I guess all of this is just to say it's still exciting. There are still guys that you need to keep your eye on. Just say goodbye to Mayweather. Say goodbye to Pacquiao. Focus on your Provodnikovs. Focus on your Canelo Alvarez. And focus especially on Gennady Golovkin. These are guys that are really going to make this sport exciting and keep it going.
Do you think it's probably I know we know Klitschko is like an awesome heavyweight, but is it the obsession of probably America like not seeing great heavyweights like in the past? Like back then we go back way back in the early 1900s, it was like Jack Dempsey and Gene Tunney, and then later on of Rocky Marciano and Sonny Liston, Ali, Frazier, Foreman, Tyson, Larry Holmes, Evander Holyfield, even Buster Douglas, you know, back in the day. Yeah. Is it because of the lack of heavyweights here, you think?
I think a lot of it, you know, there used to be a lot of good homegrown American guys. It used to be that good Philly, that good, you know. And I see what you're saying. Like, it is hard when a guy like Klitschko only fights in Europe. When he fought Jennings a couple weeks ago, that was, I think it was his first fight in like 7 years in America. Yet he still held the title. And it's like, when he did fight, he holds a lot, you know? Because he's a big guy. He holds a lot. So the fact that, you know, Jennings is able to keep it so exciting, even though Klitschko is just basically holding on to him the whole time, I can see how a lot of people would try to stray away from it or want to stray away from it because of that lack of, you know, homegrown boxing. But I think the guys that I've mentioned, you know, Alvarez is from Mexico. Gennady Golovkin is from Kazakhstan, and Canelo Alvarez. These are, and Provodnikov is from Russia, I believe. So it's like, yeah, they may not be from here and it may not be the way that it used to be, but if you embrace the way it is now and you see what these guys are doing, I think you can find a new way to love it.
And even then, there are the lighter guys. I mentioned Sugar Ray Leonard, there's Marvin Hagler, Julio Cesar Chavez, Meldrick Taylor. You know, those guys, you know, kept it going as well. So hopefully for boxing to prosper again, maybe homegrown talent has to be, you know, has to step up, basically go to the top before America can embrace the sport again. Although, as the numbers for the Mayweather and Pacquiao pay-per-view said, yeah, we can still pay attention to boxing just as long as it's the right
people. Exactly. Exactly. And I think that the rest of the world can continue to carry it even when America doesn't. I mean, like I said, Golovkin's fight this weekend is going to be carried in 120 countries. I mean, think about that. That's incredible. Yeah. Canelo Alvarez, I mean, he's from Mexico, and Mexico loves their fighters. So whenever he fights in Southern California or in Texas, I mean, they just show out. I think that the rest of the world can carry it, and I think it will be okay. It makes me sad though, because I'm just now getting into this, and you know, there's so much history that I'm missing. But as I watch and as I, you know, as I learn, I just wonder how people, even if, you know, you're watching a guy that's from Kazakhstan, how can you not just watch the way that he's hitting and watch the way that he fights and just appreciate that?
Because right now, what's popular in America right now is what?
It's football.
It's football, obviously, but mixed martial arts is getting up there as well, although they don't have as much of history as boxing, which goes back in the late 1800s, basically. So do you think it's just missing, like, brash personalities like a Floyd Mayweather? You think that's what they need to do, make it more, I guess, entertainment, WWE style? Something like that?
I mean, I think that definitely helps. Like I said, you know, the biggest thing in America will always be football. And I think what helps that is the personality, is the team mentality, is, you know, you're watching 11 guys on offense versus 11 guys on defense, whereas with boxing, you're watching one-on-one, you know? So maybe, you know, the brash personality thing, it definitely helps because everybody and their mom hates Floyd Mayweather. But everybody and their mom tuned in to watch Floyd Mayweather. So it's one of those things where nobody wants, you know, nobody wants to say they like him because nobody does like him, but they're still watching. So, I mean, I think that's a good point. I think that it may help, but I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to these kinds of things. When I'm watching an athlete, no matter what sport it is, I'm watching for what they do. I'm watching for how they play their sport. And, you know, with horrible people like Floyd Mayweather or Ray Rice or, I mean, anybody like that, it's hard to take that element out of it, but you really just got to watch for what they do because that's what, you know, that's their job. If that makes sense.
You mentioned Floyd Mayweather, and we cannot get away from the domestic violence acts that he's done in the past. So, you know, people have said, oh, well, if you're going to buy the pay-per-view, you're basically paying Floyd Mayweather money, and that's wrong because he's a repeat domestic violence offender. So, how do you think about that?
This is a tough question.
Yeah. And I know it's tough because you're a woman, and, you know, usually women are victims of domestic violence. So
I have a very unpopular opinion when it comes to these kinds of things. There's no denying that Floyd Mayweather is scum of the earth. He is he is a terrible person, and he has, you know, even past the domestic violence, and he's still not a good person. But I watched that night, and I got excited for that fight because of the hype and the buildup, but because I wanted to see what he could do. And I won't deny that he is a good boxer. He is good at what he does. It's very difficult to say that because you don't want to support who he is as a human. You know, it's like, I don't know. I've always just looked at the main example that I always use is Ben Roethlisberger because he is one of my favorite quarterbacks that I've ever watched play. I mean, Steve McNair, you could say the same thing about Steve McNair in his hometown too. I look at them for what they do on the field and their toughness on the field and how they led their team as a quarterback, not what they did in their personal life. Because I am watching football, I am watching boxing for just that, just the sport. So that's always the kind of mentality that I've had. I look at things in kind of a black and white way with that. And it's a very unpopular opinion, and it's not, you know, and I get called out on it a lot, but that's just always the way that I've looked at things.
Well, yeah, people seem to have a black and white opinion about that sort of thing because, like, you know, I was conflicted, you know, and Manny Pacquiao has his faults too, and we're both Filipino, you know, so I support him. But, you know, he's against gay marriage, and, you know, I'm for it. So it's like, you know, there are conflicts within that. And
he's
of course,
vocal
you want to
about
see,
it too.
Yeah, yeah, and you want to see a fight. So it's very conflicting for people. So I just look at it like that. It's like, well, you know, I'm not a perfect person. You know, I've done some things. People will probably still listen to my podcast, even though I've done some bad things in my life. Now, granted, I never committed domestic violence, but I sure as hell can say that I'm not a perfect person. You know what I mean? I've done some things, you know, and you've done some things. Sure. It's not to the extent of, you know, Floyd and Ray Rice, but we're not perfect. So that's all I can really say about that.
Exactly. And it's like, like you're saying, I mean, we're not perfect people. We're not here to judge other people, and nothing that you've done is as bad as what Floyd Mayweather has done. But at the same time, we're here to watch a fight, you know?
Yeah. And it is very tough to separate the athlete and the person. It really is.
It is.
And I mean,
it really is.
And I give an example that Peter King from Sports Illustrated mentioned. It's like, well, Darren Sharper should be in the Hall of Fame, even though he raped like 9 women or something. Like, that, I can't separate that. That's just despicable. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have more sports talk with Lexi Knox after this promo and after this song.
What's up, y'all? This is Sharif, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Somewhat Fundamental podcast. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing dress. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force of truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Earlier today, or was it yesterday, a woman named Shauna Hunt, while she was covering, a few men went up to her microphone and said a very, very despicable and explicit sexual comment, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say it only once, her right in the
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Shauna confronted all the men, and it's even worse that the men were trying to defend themselves, saying it's funny. Really? And, you know, and you as a woman in the business, this has got to be tough. Like, this is what you got to face, you know?
It's very tough. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where, especially being on the radio, I've got to get people to listen to me. And not, mm-hmm. and that's your first, you know, that's your first goal in radio, is you've got to get people to listen to you. But I mm-hmm. have to go above that and get them to believe me because I am a mm-hmm. woman. And I mm-hmm. hate pulling a female card. I hate, you know, well, I'm a woman, blah, blah, blah. But in sports media, it is that. You have to get people to listen, to believe you, and they're always going to try to prove you wrong. They're always going mm-hmm. to make some kind of comment. It's a never-ending uphill battle, and I haven't even really been doing it for too long. I've been writing. I've been writing for different Titans blogs right. for a long time, and I even had to deal with that in writing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to even get people to read my articles because they want to read an article from a guy's perspective, because a lot of people just don't think that women have good thoughts on sports. And it's mm-hmm. very frustrating, and I hate it.
So if someone does that to you, you make it to TV, and you're recovering a Tennessee Titans game, someone does that to you, what would you do? Would you confront her?
Would
you confront them? Like,
get very, very mad.
mm-hmm.
Like, I would probably do exactly what she did and confront them and not mm-hmm. even miss a beat and just really mm-hmm. be like, just really? Like, you really did that to me? Like, you don't, mm-hmm. you can't just gloss things like that over. You can't just pretend like it never happened. Like, you got to mm-hmm. make sure that people know that that's not okay.
Yeah. It's never okay. Never. Like,
never.
What's so funny about it in the first place?
Exactly.
You know? What would their moms think? Which I know Shauna also brought up when she confronted them, but the guy just, like, laughed it off. But I'm sure deep inside he was thinking, oh, man,
that's what's infuriating. Most of these guys that say these things, they don't care. They truly think that they're better, that their opinions matter more. And it's really, that's what makes it hard.
But I mean, you know, I mean, I try to give a platform to everybody here. And mm-hmm. I talk to everybody when it comes to sports. It's like, they, you know, what do I know? You know, they might know more than I do. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you definitely know way more Titans football than I do. That's for sure. You know more boxing than I do. I may know more history, but you know more than I do now. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, I don't understand. And, you know, I always hear guys say, oh man, it'd be great if, you know, my girlfriend was into sports. But then why are you going to treat women like dirt then?
Exactly.
We talked about Tennessee Titans, that you like Tennessee Titans football, and they haven't made the playoffs in 6 seasons.
they were
2-14 last year. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So how are they looking right now?
Well, you know, the good thing about, you know, the season after 2-14 is you can only go up from here.
Hopefully.
It was pretty bad. My mom and I still went to every game, but let me tell you, it was painful. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing some really, really good things. I think there is a silver lining in that we drafted Marcus Mariota, second mm-hmm. pick, obviously. I think he's going to, you know, at first I was a little bummed. I wanted Leonard Williams out of USC. I thought, you know, we really needed to work on defense more than anything. But the more that I see this pick, the more that I realize that not only did the Titans need it, but the mm-hmm. city of Nashville needed it too. Mm-hmm. There are actually billboards all throughout Nashville that say, "Aloha, y'all." And it's like a mm-hmm. picture of Marcus and like welcoming Marcus to the city. And they made him gift baskets of all the famous Nashville stuff. And it's actually a really cool, it's kind of corny, but it's actually mm-hmm. really cool because you can see the city to start getting exciting again. And they're mm-hmm. actually like getting ready, and it's going to really help. People are going to start going to games. They're going to start paying attention more. And even if we don't do very well starting mm-hmm. out, you know, while we still get used to Marcus fitting in the system, it's mm-hmm. still going to be something that people are going to want to come and see. And they're going to have more hope. And I think that's the most important thing is hope. And that's something this team has not really had since 2008 was the last time that we made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. When we got knocked out of the second round by Baltimore at home. And it was heartbreaking. And ever since then, and that was actually the best season. We went 13-3. And after that, everything just kind of went to hell in a handbasket. But
right.
I see them picking up the pieces. They made great moves in free agency. They picked up Harry Douglas on offense to replace Nate Washington as the veteran leadership on the offensive side. They got Arakpo, who's a linebacker, on defense. So those are just two names, really. I mean, they've done a lot of really good things. They're making the right decisions. So I think mm-hmm. that, you know, even if there might be a little rocky start as everybody gets used to what they're doing, but I really do see only good things from here on out.
Well, here's also the good news sort of about NFL is that they can be really random and you can turn around things in a huff. You know what I mean? Like the Rams mm-hmm. did when they were 4-12 the year before, they win the Super Bowl the next year. So I think,
exactly.
you know, there's always that, what was mentioned before, there's too much parity maybe in the NFL. So who knows where the Titans go from here. In the meantime, I'm just crying about the Niners like missing the playoffs last year. So yeah, hopefully they turn it around. But with Patrick Willis retiring, yeah.
The Niners have lost a lot of important people. It's not going to be very good for the Niners for mm-hmm. a few years.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so just let me weep over in the corner as the Niners go down in flames. Yeah, we're talking more football controversy here, and I hate to like return to this, but here we go. Tom Brady gets suspended for the first 4 games because of deflated footballs, and of course, there's also the uproar that, well, Ray Rice's initial suspension was 2 games on domestic violence. Priorities,
wow.
People.
What's I know. Going on? And that's the biggest problem with the National Football League is the man, Roger Goodell. I don't think a single person in this country respects him. And this is a prime example of why they don't. He is all over the place. He has no set. I can't even put thoughts into how much I dislike Roger Goodell. I realize that, yeah, Tom Brady maybe shouldn't have lied about it. Maybe he should mm-hmm. not have withheld information, and he was a little shady. You know, he mm-hmm. was a little shady about everything that went on, and that leads you to believe that, yeah, he probably was in some wrongdoing. But mm-hmm. 4 games? Really? Mm-hmm. Like, 4 games, when you look at Ray Rice, initially got 2 before the entire country was in an outrage. And they changed it. It's like, what are you doing?
Here's a funny thing also. It's a little outrageous in itself that, you know, some people thought that Tom Brady got, you know, it was got off easy. Isn't that funny? Like, where are our priorities here?
We had a guy on the – I'm not going to name any names or put anybody on Front Street here, but we had a guy come on the show today who thought that he should have been suspended for the entire season. And I'm like, you really want to suspend him for an entire season? Oh, and that's along the same lines as someone who uses dope or beats their wife. Like, really?
Yeah. It's – wow. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough because I mentioned on this podcast before that – last year was probably the least I've watched the NFL because of everything that went on, from the domestic violence to being the game being violent itself now, you know, concussions all over the place. And I don't know, it's just really tough to watch the game nowadays.
I actually wrote an article about concussions in the NFL. And back in January, I suffered a very severe concussion. I was kicked in the face by a horse.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I used to show horses. I was taking care of some horses at a horse farm, and one of them got away from me, and he basically clocked me in the face. And for a good month, I was dealing with severe nausea. I couldn't really do anything but lay down and sleep. My head was hurting constantly. I was angry. And the weirdest part about it was my brain wasn't functioning normally when I was trying to speak or when I was trying to, like, do things, like, on the computer that I normally did every day. So anyway, I dealt with that for a month, and I started thinking, and I was like, how do these guys do it? How do they get hit in the head so hard, probably harder than I got kicked, and then they go out a week later, and they do it again?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's insane. And I don't, and it was like a personal thing. And I was like, I don't know how they do it. And it's really incredible. And I feel like as time goes on, it's going to become such a serious issue because these things aren't documented.
I mean, some of these guys, after, you know, getting 1,000 concussions, basically, throughout their playing careers, they commit suicide too. You know,
exactly,
they're not right in the head.
And
they, yeah, exactly. So, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry for, you know, getting mad at you for, you know, not letting me play football in high school.
You said, now you know.
Yeah, now I know. So, yeah. Really quick, NBA playoffs, who you got? I know right now, while we're recording, the Clippers and Rockets are playing Game 5 of their series. And the game, by the time you listen to this podcast, the game should be over. But anyway, what are your thoughts of the NBA playoffs thus far? It's so... this is the most wide open season we've had in a long time.
It really is. This is the first year since, I think, 1998 or 1999 that we haven't seen Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, or Dwayne Wade. And when you put it in that kind of perspective, it really smacks you in the face. Like, wow, this is really open to anyone. You know, like, it's crazy to think about it that way. But I'm definitely, as you know, even though Memphis is the home team, I'm going for Golden State. I really like Steph Curry. I really like the kind of player and the kind of guy that he is. And I think, you know, I really think he deserves to win one. I think that team deserves to win one. They played cohesively. They played really well all season. They haven't lost any steam. Memphis has tripped him up a couple times, but I think in the end they're gonna, you know, they're gonna come out on top. I really do, and I think they could win it.
And America would love it if Golden State won, because let's face it, the Grizzlies play 90s basketball, and I don't want to offend your, you know, peoples in Tennessee, but they do play ugly. That's their style.
Oh, they
grit,
do
grind, grit, grind. It's gross. Yeah. So
it's not pretty.
It's not pretty, but I respect it. Like, you know, I really respect it.
But if you look at the two teams, Golden State and Memphis, like, Golden State plays pretty good, cohesive basketball. They do. I mean, they're shooting the ball right. They're doing everything right. And then you look at Memphis, who is just hurt and beaten and battered, and they're still. And you've got Mike Conley playing with a face mask and a broken face, and he's out there, and it's very. It's like night and day.
Yeah, they want to muck it up, and, you know, people always wish for their 90s basketball. There it is, Memphis Grizzlies right there, you know.
Exactly.
And and their core has been together for so long. It's funny because this is the first year I've actually deemed them not dangerous, yet here they are going toe-to-toe with the Golden State Warriors. And with the last eight teams, only two from last year's eight have returned to the conference semifinals, the Clippers and the Wizards. All the six other teams were not in the conference semifinals last year. So that's something, and it's, you know, again, it's wide open. We'll see how it goes. By the way, a few years ago, Lex really hated me for a while because there is a certain Kevin Durant Sprint commercial that went on in the playoffs. She still hates me for that.
Oh, I will always hate you for that, Ray Ray. Always.
I don't know, because, like, there is always a commercial in the playoffs that I will just tweet every single time it comes on. And it was that one. It happened to be that one.
Kevin Durant in jammies doing chores around the house, and that woman says,
"Mommy's got some things for Daddy to do."
No! No!
We first saw it in Christmas, I believe, and we're just like, wow, this is the most awkward commercial ever.
Horrible. It has become a staple of our friendship, though.
It has. I honestly don't know what the commercial accomplishes other than Kevin Durant being in tight pajamas. That's it. And, yeah.
And the woman being really creepy.
I know. It's just like she's just staring at him with lovingly gaze. You know, it's like, wow, like my husband is 6'9" and handsome or something in tight pajamas, and all she has him do is clean up the gutters.
Yep, that's it.
That's it.
That's all she needs, man. That is all she needs.
I still don't know what that commercial accomplishes. Like, I don't think
he ever will.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, other things that have been a staple in our friendship is because you're into Pearl Jam. You're into Pearl Jam.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, I don't know. I don't know where I saw this video, and I was just kind of like, I saw this, you know, kind of like an imitation contest or whatever in Chile of all countries. And then they're supposed to imitate, like, you know, their favorite artist or whatever. And then this guy just sounded like Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. And
I was Eddie Vedder.
And I'm gonna show Lexi this. you just went crazy when you saw it.
I still love it. I still watch it all the time. That's the greatest thing because it's my favorite Pearl Jam song, Yellow Red Butter, and he sounds just like Eddie Vedder, but he's Chilean.
I don't even know how is that possible. Like,
you
just watch, and you're just mesmerized, and then you realize, like, what kind of show is this again? It's like,
exactly.
You know, you kind of forget about it. There's actually a lot more of that on YouTube. There's one of those Miley Cyrus. There's one of Michael Jackson. The one that does Miley Cyrus actually looks like Miley Cyrus, but she's a terrible singer. So this is the last thing we're gonna talk about, but.
It's the best.
This is kind of weird talking about it on audio, but I will put all these videos on the blog post. So, Alan Cumming, who is an actor, you've probably seen him as Nightcrawler in X-Men and, you know, other movies and stuff like that. I think it's a parody of some sort, but he does a fragrance commercial for like a minute and a half, and he's just like stripping naked and everything, and he's like rolling around on his bed, like buck naked. And it's a fragrance, and the fragrance is called Cumming. And he says things like,
"Cumming is sexy."
And you're just, like, amazed while you're watching it. I know Lex was.
Oh, man. Honestly, one of the greatest videos I have ever seen in my life.
I think I saw this. God bless his soul, Patrice O'Neill, I think, because he was doing a show called Web Junk 20, which is way back, like 10 years ago or something like that. And that was one of the videos that he showed, and he was horrified. He's like, "Why are you taking your clothes off? What are you doing?"
Because he literally just stripped naked the entire time and talks about coming. And it's like, oh, God, you just cringe the whole time. But it's so great. So it's just evolved into this thing of our friendship.
Yeah, well, because me and my friend saw the video. And then we just thought it was like the most hilarious thing ever. So every time, like, we're going to get together, like, we're going to go hang out, one of my friends, before he leaves the house, before he meets up with us, he will text me, I am coming. And then when he gets there, like, to the house, he picks us up or whatever, he'll say, I came. So that's been a staple of my friendships with my boys. Shout out to my boys, Nick and Nelson. And now it's a staple with, you know, my friendship with Lex. So,
and it's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah, I know. God, after talking about these serious topics about domestic violence and, you know,
we end with coming the fragrance.
Yeah, we ended with coming the fragrance. I think we'll end the show right here. So tell us where we can find you on the internet and on the radio everywhere. Please tell us again.
You can find me on Twitter at @danger_Lex. I'm on Twitter 24/7, so definitely hit me up. You can also listen to me on the radio from Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio, 560 a.m., and we also stream it online.
You've got a much better radio voice than I do. Thank you so much, Lex.
Oh, thank you. No problem. Anytime, Ray Ray.
We are actually not done yet. We'll be right back, and we're going to introduce a new segment to the show.
Hey, everyone. I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome, he's awesome, the NBA is awesome, and you are awesome. Have a great day.
On the ceiling, on a person that I said, let me say, I want to leave it again. Once I saw her on a piece of rhythm, said, I'm gonna say, I wanna leave it, yeah, yeah. On a reading, on a wish it on a way, yeah. And I call out, I said, I know, and I said, and I call out again. And the rest I I'm gonna leave her, come my Lord. I said, I know how to wear out of back, so the back, I am. Can you see them? Oh, not a portrait, but they don't wait. I see them, proud from where.
Are you guys ready for the new segment of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast? Well, here it is.
Back on the line for the second straight episode, regretfully. He's going to tell stories, of course. And we're here to do something that I thought I would never do on this podcast. But Adam Jacoby is back. What's up, Adam?
Hey, how you doing, Ray Ray?
And let's get to the point here.
Mm-hmm. We need to.
Austin Rivers had a monster game after we made fun of him.
Yeah. I would like to take a little bit of credit for that, but I think we need to sort of correct the record now. I think I have to retract my statement that Austin Rivers is bad at basketball, because he's good at basketball. He is objectively good at basketball. He incinerated the second-round playoff team, Houston Rockets. Killed them. Just
right?
Annihilated them. And whenever you can do that, I feel like we sort of lose our license to make fun of you. So Austin Rivers is my pick for MVP of the NBA Finals until further notice.
Go
yourself some more games, son. Keep doing it. No, it's, and honestly, it's awesome to watch.
Right? It is. Yeah. We made fun of him for so long. He's like daddy's little boy on the team.
Yeah.
And then he proves everyone wrong by spearheading like a 23-0 run.
Yeah.
In the third quarter.
Nearly single-handedly.
Three.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much. And then he had a good game four. And it got to the point where he actually sat the last 2 minutes of the game because he played well.
That's right. Like, how amazing is that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, okay, Austin, there is no chance you will ever hear this podcast. Probably not. But
let's leave the door cracked on that one.
Let's leave an opening because I've talked to a few Clippers in the past. But maybe I'll have Keith Kloss like have Austin listen to this because I know Keith Kloss will have a chance to listen to this podcast. He's a friend of mine. Anyway,
yeah.
He really is.
That's awesome. So, he's like what 7'4"?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So Austin Rivers, we'd like to apologize, and we are happy for the Rivers family.
That's right. I too am sorry to Austin Powers and Austin Rivers. Oh God. Well, he's Austin Powers now.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. No, my sincere, 100% sincere apologies. Keep wrecking it, man. This is awesome.
And really, I mean, yeah, we may have thought you were bad in NBA basketball, but even before we made fun of you, I know you were going to kill us in basketball anyway because we're terrible and we suck. And yeah, exactly. So I believe Game 5 will be on. Pretty much you'll hear it. Game 5 will be done by the time you hear this podcast, but hopefully he also wrecked it in that game.
Yeah, I think that we can just pencil him in for 25 to 35 points. Triple-double in all likelihood.
Yeah,
so congratulations in advance for for that and for sending your Clippers through to the next round, my man. Way to go.
There you go. All right, so the other reason why Adam Jacoby is back, because by popular demand, or by my demand, really, we now have...
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I want to do is have some pun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Yes! Seriously, Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Story time,
because... The podcast was really well received, kinda, I think. I don't know.
Super.
Heck, you know, it's funny because I never thought in my lifetime that a podcast of mine would be live tweeted. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And that's all to the power of Adam Jacoby. So, you got a story to tell?
Yeah. Go ahead. First of all, shout out to Joanne Pinston Fan, one of the best users of Twitter.com ever. Thank you for the intro. Nothing but love. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a story, but it's also something like a confession, I guess. Ray, you know me. I'm a fair guy. I believe in good works and justice. But that wasn't always the case. I was a bit of a rough youth. I hung out with the wrong crowd. Did some wrong things in my day. You know, one of my biggest thrills was the graffiti game. You know, I was a graffiti guy. Oh yeah,
okay.
a vandal, if you will. And I knew some other vandals. And so you know when you tag, you know that's the graffiti guy talk. But when you tag something, you want it to be very prominent so everybody can see your name, your handiwork, your everything. You know, it's a status thing.
I haven't heard of term tagging in like 15 years.
Well, you know, this was a long time ago, long time ago. Reckless youth. That's all that was going on. It was some reckless youth. But anyway, so we go to Chicago because you know there aren't many graffiti opportunities in Des Moines, and it's pretty easy to figure out. But you know, Chicago, that's where all the good targets are in the Midwest. You know, So we're in Chicago. It's late at night, and we decide that we're going to take down the Shedd Aquarium, the huge indoor aquarium that's right on Lake Michigan, and you know they've got beluga whales, all sorts of marine life, fish, mammals, the works, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. And so we break in there late at night, and you know here we are tagging all of the exhibits. You know, so you know you've got those big glass windows to see into the tanks, and so we're putting our names right on that. So you know, someone wants to go see the lionfish, and they see my name instead. Like, hey, this is good work. And right. But you know, it's just, you know, writing your name on flat surfaces. And I was just straight up doing my signature. I was not good at graffiti whatsoever. So like, anyone, I mean, come on. So then I'm like, well, we gotta kick this one up a notch. We've gotta leave our mark here. That's no pun intended there. But okay. And so I go over to where the large mammals are, and they've got an orca, and you know, orcas, they're black and white, and the color blobs are they're very large, and they're very large animals to boot, and so the underbelly of the orca is the perfect canvas for a very ambitious graffiti guy like myself. So sure enough, I signed my name in spray paint right on the killer whale. Mm-hmm. And then the cops show up, and like we're in the middle of the act, and you know that there was apparently some sort of a silent alarm that got tripped, and you know, once again, it's my name, so it would have been hard to figure out, you know, what was going on, who did it, all that. So mm-hmm. sure enough, I got to tell you, they send me and my graffiti guy friends to jail, and so we have to face a few charges here. Now I want to point out that the orca was fine. Mm-hmm. You just need a little soap and water, and and you can get it right off. There's no animal cruelty here. I assure you. Mm-hmm. And so the judge is like, well, Adam, since the spray paint came off the wildlife, we're not going to get you on any animal cruelty charges. So I'm like, well, thank you, Your Honor. But, mm-hmm. you know, there is breaking and entering, and there is vandalism here. And, you know, the evidence is pretty strong. We even caught you in the act. You know, what do you have to say to you for yourself? I'm like, Your Honor, this is all an accident. The judge is like, are you kidding me? An accident? Your name was on hundreds of glass windows and surfaces. I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, that's right. He says, your name was even on one of the animals. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah. Like, you put your name on a killer whale. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't do it on porpoise.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So they let me off, and then I got to go home.
Why did I agree to this again?
Because I'm very good at podcasts.
You are very good at podcast.com, and you are very good at storyline.com. Joanne, take it away.
That was pun. This has been Storytime with Adam Jacoby. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Adam. And I guess we'll do this again on the next show if you want to.
Absolutely. I've lived a storied life, Ray. So I've got nothing but stories to tell.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for your entertaining stories, and I'm sure Twitter.com is ready to kill me. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
This is Lexi Knox with WNSR Nashville Sports Radio, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Thanks to Lexi Knox for coming on the show. And thanks to Adam Jacoby for providing us with a new segment called Storytime with Adam Jacoby. And also thanks to Joanne Piston Fan for providing us with an excellent voiceover to introduce the segment. She is part of the Gal Pal Squad that I have been mentioning on the show forever. And by the way, the Gal Pal Squad is really cool, guys. Follow all of them on Twitter. You can find Lexi at danger_Lex. Adam is on there as Adam_Jacoby. You spell Jacoby with J-A-C-O-B-I. And Joanne is Joanne Piston Fan, and I hope you can spell Joanne Piston Fan. You know where to find this podcast, right? But in case you don't, even though you're already listening to it, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rayray.net. There's a hyphen between rayray and R-E-Y is how you spell Ray. And you can also find the show on Stitcher. Follow the podcast on Twitter at rayrayisfun. And you can also follow me on my personal Twitter account, The Nola Pass, where I talk basketball and the fundamentals of life. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Y'all Pal Squad, thank you for taking care of me. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people!
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words don't come out. He's choking now. Everybody's choking now. Clocks run out. Time's up. Over. Blah! Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes gravity. Choke. He's so mad that he won't give up. That is, he knows. He knows that back that he ropes. It don't matter. He's toast. He's so mad that he won't. You know, mad that he won't. You know, mad that he won't.
Game over, yeah! Moded.